The City of Angels is black and gold. You are listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. And now, Joseph Zacher.
Greetings, Los Angeles. Welcome to episode 336 of the Heart of LAFC podcast. That's right, we just keep on going and going. Missed opportunities will be the name of tonight's episode. Yeah, we brought the whole crew back again for this one. Of course, we've got Bam, we've got Tony, we have got Araceli flying all the way back from New York just in time to be on the show. The busiest person in the room. Araceli, how are you doing?
Surviving. No, there I'm actually doing very well. It's just been a very long weekend, as you guys, or a very long week. As you guys know, MLS Next Pro, the new season officially kicks off tomorrow night. So it's just been a week full of meetings and really just figuring out what's the next step for Next Pro and for even MLS.
And everything seems to be moving parts right now. Pretty wild where they're at right now. You would think it would be a little more settled. It is not. There's just changing news, changing info, changing landscape, to be honest. So, yeah, Araceli is definitely going to be keeping us updated as we go through this. Even with our own club, as the signings are arriving late, too. Yeah, it's fun times. That's for sure on the LAFC 2 front and, of course, MLS media front. It's been an interesting few weeks, that's for sure. We've got Bam. We've got Tony as well. Bam, how are you doing, sir? How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling all right. Had my follow-up with my surgeon for my finger early this morning. Says everything's looking well. Just got to do some more healing and go from there. So hopefully be another weekend of sitting down, watching some great football matches and hopefully seeing goals.
Yeah, especially from one Denny Bouanga, right? We need some goals there.
Yeah, yep. Or even just some of the other new players like Martinez should have. But we'll get into that later on.
I'm still more excited about it than angry, but we'll talk about that. That's for sure. And then, of course, Tony surviving the North End, doing his best, getting ready for the next go around. In this case, it'll be watch parties, which he will definitely talk about today. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Again, very frustrating game, as frustration could be. There is a new or returning theme again that I don't want to talk about. But again, we'll get into that when we break down and not fully analyze the game, but break down the game.
Oh, I want to talk about it. Definitely. Definitely. And we will. We'll get thorough with that stuff. Of course, we have our faithful jumping on. I see that as well. Of course, guys, comments are encouraged. Criticisms, definitely. Be real about it. Tell us how you guys feel. We will put it up here and talk about it ourselves as well. At the end of the day, you guys are the reason why we do this thing. So, yeah, the more you guys are involved, the better off we'll be. That's for sure. All right, so let's just get right into it instead of avoiding it. We do have some news, but I think the news is more LAFC 2 based, so we'll save it for Araceli. So let's get into the match itself. Of course, LAFC had to face off against Sporting Kansas City. Kansas City is kind of in a weird rebuild tweak mode, you could say, but still looking the part and been looking strong going into this game. LAFC, of course, were licking their wounds after getting halfway frozen to death in Salt Lake, and this was their match to bounce back, as we thought. Of course, lineups for this match were not a shock to anyone. Of course, Bogus, Oliveira, and Bouanga were up top. Sanchez, Tillman, and Atuesta back in the mix in midfield. We had Lloris in goal. Murillo and Long as your center backs, and of course Hollingshead and Campos right back in the mix. No changes to the lineup at all. Bam, were you surprised by that?
I wasn't 100% surprised. I thought there might have been some movement after the frigid conditions in Utah the week before, but I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah, it seemed more like the boys got a chance to just simply do a reset. Like, we saw that. Do your best. Do what you do. And then we came to that. Now, Kansas City also fielded a 4-3-3. I know this is a little different than what we've seen in years past, but this is them now. You know, this is what they do. Emilio was in goal. We had Valencia and Fontas in the back. We had Davis and Leibold as your outside backs, of course. Bedoya, Tommy, and Rodriguez were your midfielders. with Russell and Saloui on the wings, and of course Pulido up top. Again, it's the veterans we thought we would see are the veterans we ended up seeing. They came out strong for what they were going to do, and we were coming out with our best in the moment. Of course, the game got rather interesting from the beginning, so I'm going to throw this over to Tony. First half, sir, your highlights and lowlights.
Pretty much all lowlights. a lot of missed opportunities with this team. It's going to be the, like I said, I do not want to talk about this again. Another season, and hopefully this is just, you know, preseason, not in midseason form, but finishing is a problem. There were many opportunities and missed kicks and posts, crossbars, you name it, it was there. And it just, we couldn't finish. Same thing with Kansas City, though. They couldn't even finish as well. We were both pretty much in a stalemate the whole time for the first half. There were opportunities on both ends, but I honestly couldn't say we were dominating because there was no for it, for the domination. Like possession wise, it was, I get, like, it was decent that we had possession, but it wasn't like, oh, we're controlling this game. It was so many missed opportunities in the first half, and it just, we could have run away with this, to be honest.
I mean, we had the chances. They had some too. They hit the posts. We saw that at some point in this game. First half, though, again, yeah, it was a little chippy at times. The ref was chasing this. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Missing a lot of off the ball stuff. The one thing he's seen certain, which does limit what you can do in a game, is there was a lot of off ball grabbing, protected handballs to maintain possession of the ball. Tricks of the trade, right? That a more experienced referee would probably catch, especially the off the ball fouls, right? You're killing a give and go. You're doing something like that. And he was not. He was just not seeing those off the ball plays. And it was killing our game. It was killing their game too, because I think we just started playing along because you got to survive. And so the game, while not chippy, I would not call it chippy. It was hard fought and just pretty even, both getting their chances. I would not call it pretty. Right, man, it wasn't a pretty game, but it was a proper stalemate for the first half. That's what it was.
100%. You know, as much as we all love watching pretty football, watching games like that was a pure stalemate. Both teams had chances. Does make it also an entertaining game as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were chances. That's the thing. As hard as the fight was, as much as the clutch and grab we were seeing, you're still breaking free at times and still getting those chances and doing something. Now, Bwanga, I got to be honest, this might have been one of the roughest halves I've seen from him in a very long time. Maybe he's not completely back yet from the last game. But, yeah, it wasn't quite Bwanga, right? I mean, there was a little element missing from it. And Oliveira seemed to really have a struggle in this one. They weren't their usual selves, I would say. I'll go to you, Tony. Your thoughts about our wingers in the first half? Were they even close to their abilities?
They weren't even close, to be honest. Bwanga was not him. Like, and I mean, it was almost like we got him when we first got him the first second half of the season when we first signed him. He wasn't like ready for the game. It almost seems like, oh, I'm not saying he wasn't ready for the game, because again, they're all professionals. They're ready for the game, but the way the play was and the finish and the non-finishing was, it wasn't, he wasn't ready for the game. Same with Oliveira. Like he would get 2/3 of the game right there to the goal, and then just something just didn't click in the last third and couldn't finish anything as well. And we had multiple opportunities. It wasn't just like,
and to be honest, the biggest stuff actually broke out in the second half. I think those are the glaring moments for both sides where it's, wow, you should have capitalized. This could have been easily a 1-1 or a 2-2. They had the chance. They had golden opportunities. Lloris saved us in the second half, and we'll talk about second half now because why not? He saved our skin in this game. I'll say that right now. We don't have Lloris. We lose this game. No way around it. That far post shot that he just curled around the post. Yeah, that thing was glorious. And to watch him on the play, anticipate it, it was something that we really haven't seen from our keepers yet. It was a new level. I don't have any doubt about that. Araceli, were you impressed with Larissa's play in this game?
I was definitely,
of course. Yeah.
No, let's be honest. For me personally, I think a scoreless draw was at least the best result, all things considering. But regardless, I definitely agree with Tony that it was a stalemate in some sense. There were equal chances for both sides, even though Sporting did dominate possession-wise. I believe it was about 54%. Not a total dominance, but the stats definitely favored Sporting a bit more in this situation. But given his performance, Larissa's performance specifically, I think he was on point with it, honestly.
Yeah, you know, managing, you know, if anything, Melia seemed to be struggling more in this game than anything else and almost gave the game away at one point, which was, you know, those of us that were behind the goal in the moment were a little bit shocked because it's something he doesn't do, giving up that indirect kick. A little weird vibe from him. Yeah, I think everybody was like, really? Did he do that? And then to be so angry about it afterward was even funnier. But again, to me, that was the moment that really revealed where Bwanga's head was at, right? Wanting to be tricky with it like he normally is, and you would usually bury a moment like that, and he over-finessed it. I think that was the best way to say it, is you just put too much on it, and it bent was way around the post. Like, it still had good control on the shot. It's just off. It was just off. Bam. I mean, you saw it, right? He hit it right. He just, for some reason, was off in his targeting.
Yeah, he hit it how he normally hits it. It was just one of those nights where an inch either way and it's in, but no one could do it and no one was hitting the target smack on. And if they were, keepers are having brilliant saves.
Yeah, there were good ones in this game. That's for sure. And give them credit. Give them credit. I mean, that's why they're there. Everybody knows that Melia is a shot stopper. He always has been. That is the MO for him. And Lloris is more of a manager of the game, but can do those big ones. And he did it. Now, I would say, I think we can all talk about it. The highlight of the game, of course, was our young kids and what they could do in it. Tony, explain that play, because it was one of the later plays in the game from our own defensive, actually penalty area.
Mm-hmm.
Break it down, man. Go for it.
Honestly, just Martinez speed is the best way to say it. That was just straight speed. He good ball control up until the last third. Yes, Bwanga was open 100%. Like, you know, he could have passed it, easy goal. But honestly, maybe wasn't an easy goal because, you know, Bwanga wasn't hitting his shot. So, you know, Martinez took his opportunity and thinned it to space, unfortunately. But again, super young, but you can see the talent of why Martinez is touted as a future player of, you know, for their national team. So it was just like, you know, youth just needs experience. And after that, it was, like I said, honestly, that was the highlight of the game. And it was frustrating, even like, oh, you know, covered my face is, if you can see it, like, just so upset about that missed opportunity. But let's go, Martinez.
Yeah, the funniest part of that play was when he missed it. It was like that scene in Naked Gun, right, where everybody goes one of those at the same time like that. But it was more of this, and he did it on the field too. And it was actually in unison, like as if the 32-52 had choreographed it. It was just everybody's hands just went up. It was hilarious to look around. And then nobody was mad. It was more like, okay, we see what he can do, but man, he should have done it. And then the heads shake and everybody looks at each other like, I see it, but we didn't get it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm not mad. I'm sad it didn't go in, because for his confidence, it would have been insane if he would have pulled that off. But, you know, he created the entire opportunity, so I can't get mad. Because if he doesn't do any of that, it's just a broken play. The ball goes out of bounds. And it's just what, you know, if it was Olivetta on the ball, he clears it out of bounds. There's no question about it. Maybe even Bwanga would do that. Just play it safe. not this kid. He decides to burn everybody and then head fake a veteran defender and make him look like a fool. So, Bam, I'll go to you.
Yeah, well, not that though. Like, I see people online saying, oh, I should cross the square to Bwongo and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, maybe if he had more footballing experience. Not like if he had played a lot more with Bwonga, knew all that kind of stuff, knew where Bwonga would be, then yeah, you could say that. But for me, he took his chance. He did all that work. He took a shot. He didn't go in. That's unfortunate, but you can't hate him for that. With more time on the field with Bwonga, more time on the field with other LAFC players, he'll know more in that situation. Do I go for the shot or do I go for the cross, for the pass across the face of goal for a goal? For me, he did what he thought was right decision. I'm not hating him for it. So for him, keep it up.
Yeah, he's one-on-one with the keeper, right? He hits it right. It does not matter what Bwonga's doing. He's irrelevant if he hits the ball right. It's that simple. You know, to me, it was one of those moments where it's a young kid and he had this situation that no one ever gets. I'm like, who does this, right? And his eyes got that big. Like, he's already thinking about celebrating mid strike, right? Like he's already pulling up and like, oh my god, I got this, and then he didn't. And then you could tell for a few minutes after that he went right back to like academy style, where he just went to go cover his man and like, I'm gonna do just what I'm supposed to do. And it took him about 2 or 3 minutes to be like, okay, I got my head back again. And then you got him back into the mix, but it did stun him a little bit, but he bounced back, so that was good. But man, that's some talent. I was happy. Araceli, I mean, that was a crazy moment, right?
It's going to be a moment that everyone's going to remember for a good minute.
Oh, yeah. 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 And now we know what he can do, honestly. That speed is something I did not understand the speed that he did have. We knew he was fast, but that was lightning. That was good stuff. That's for sure. Of course, there was one other controversial moment in the second half, and that was during injury time. We basically earned a corner kick on a play. And since it had just hit the 3-minute mark, rather than letting it continue on, the ref whistled it in the mid play in the offensive third. I'm thrown a little bit by this. Now, I will say this, looking back in the moment, we didn't really notice that it was the 3-minute mark, as he said it would be, right? It just hit like on the clock. So if the ref was going to justify it, it'd be like, well, that was the time on the field. I told you the time on the field, but it's not the most common thing you're going to see, especially in this league. Usually you let it continue through. Tony, thoughts?
I understandable, whatever, 3 minutes and stuff like that, but this is the first time I've ever seen in my years of watching football where the referee stops it pinpoint on the minute. Like, you know what I mean? There's usually a couple seconds like of play or anything like that, or it goes a little bit over. And like, again, we don't see the clock. You know, people at home who are watching it can see the clock and see it was like at 3 minutes. But at the time, I was like, what the hell? Like, we still are an attacking defense. And I had some choice words for the referee. Not my brightest moment.
We weren't the only one.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. I had some choice words for him. But I don't know. It goes back to like, does that corner change and we score on it, or does it like just, you know, we just go through the motions, we cross it, we don't get the opportunity or anything? But it's, again, it's a missed opportunity that we never got to miss. The opportunity is the best way to say it.
Right. Was it going to be another Bwonga overhash? I don't know, because he had a few of those in this game. We don't know because we didn't get the chance. I will say this, Ilie is did a great job of keeping our guys out of trouble in the moment, because they were all livid. And he ended up walking the referee off the field. I thought that was pretty interesting. Of course, lecturing him in the whole process, but in an Ilie way. And Araceli's laughing because she knows. She had experience with him at SKC. Is he could tear you down, basically, but at the same time, you felt like you got a lesson rather than you got it berated. So that was impressive on his part not to get in trouble for it. But yeah, for those at the stadium, you watched him walk him all the way into the tunnel. I'm like, okay, that's what leaders do. I get it. Let's hope he learns from what he heard, because, yeah, that's just not the level. Bam. Overall thoughts of the match itself?
Overall thoughts on the match is obviously the title of our episode, Missed Opportunities. Missed Opportunities left, right, and center. I do have to say that to everyone that sent in their votes for this week's Player of the Week, thank you for doing that. It was one of our biggest weeks so far, especially for it being a draw. That's really good. From the fans' point of view, in third place with 1 point goes to Aaron Long. In second place for 2 points is Murillo. To those who had great works in defense, and obviously the fans going on with the 3 votes overall for a keeper. You can't hate on that. For me personally, I went one vote to Long, 2 votes to Campos. I thought he had a great game too, and 3 votes, you know, with the fans, had to go for the keeper.
Yeah, that sounds like it makes sense to me. Tony, where do you stand on this one?
Maurice, 3 points. Mario, 2. And Long, 1. Because Mario, Mario was very good. He's finally coming into his flow. Prime. I know we've always been hard on him, but it's because we can see the potential in him, and he's finally hitting that stride.
There we go, Araceli.
3 points for Ioris, 2 points for Mario, and 1 for Ilie, because I'm allowed 1 completely biased vote.
The love is real, people. Trust me. He's amazing. All right, I'll be a little different with this, of course. Lloris, of course, he gets the 3 points. There's no question about that. Mario gets the 2 points. No question about it. Honestly, he saved Long a few times when Long got caught. So there were some rough ones for Long. So my last one, it'll be for the kid, Martinez. Because to think that way in the short moment that we had, I know it only a taste of what he can do, I was impressed. And he did what he was supposed to do outside of the last little step. So he'll build on that. So that's what I'm going for. He gets a vote for the first time ever. And that's my choice. So good stuff, guys. Keep on voting. How many votes did we get this week, Bam?
This week we had 12.
There we go. Okay.
Our usual stuff. Obviously, last week with the loss, we didn't bother doing it because all the votes were for snow, because that's who deserved to win that game.
Yep.
But no one wanted to vote for that. That was just horrendous. But yeah, for a draw, this was by far our biggest amount of votes we've had for a draw. So to everyone, keep doing it, keep pumping it. I'm getting this year's trophy is currently getting done, and I'm going to put next year's in with this too. So when I do send them over, it'll be last year's getting sent over with this year's and next year's.
There it is. All right. So with that being said, I see about 10 comments from you guys. So I'm going to jump on that for the moment, and then we'll get into club and community news. All right. At the top, we have Dave Gomez checking in. Yes, sir. Happy to see you on here. And Dave's with you, man. Lads need to sharpen the finishing big time. Soccer USA is on as well. He says, what it do, what it do. Decent performance against SKC, a game to build on. I like what I see from Martinez. How many games till he overtakes Olveda as a starter? I don't think it's going to be long, dude. I got to be honest. If he keeps doing that and gets one across the line, oh, yeah, he's taking the job without a doubt. Soccer USA also want to mention Mario has quietly been fantastic. He gets overlooked a lot. That's the thing about Mario. When we don't see him, we know he's doing his job. It's kind of like the referee. If the referee's not the story, the referee did his job, right? Mario's kind of the same way. He just does his thing and keeps people organized and doesn't get in any entertaining moments. Steady center back, right? He did his job. So I'm with you, man. I think we're all in agreement. He's really looked good in this game, and he's looking better. Soccer USA, where can I get the LAFC 2 kid asking for a fan base? I will save that for Ash for community news when we talk to Araceli. When I said community, I meant community, and we'll talk about that too. Dave Gomez says, Soccer USA is spot on. Mario is bringing in deserves praise for sure. Mendo in the mix. He says Bonga couldn't go off on the young kid for not passing. That unbalanced Martinez's confidence. Yeah, he didn't. He went as a teacher more than a angry player. Because honestly, Bonga was that age once. And I guarantee you, Bonga at that age probably went for it too. They're strikers. It's what they do, right? You're taught to put the ball away. You're built to put the ball away. So he went with instinct. Let's see. Donnie on hell. He says, what's this I heard about captain's armband? Marie brought it to Hugo, but then Edward grabbed it for himself. I didn't notice any of that. Did you guys notice any of that?
Yeah, no. It was like a passing of everything. It was like people saw it as Atuesta kind of like being bigger than the club and everything like that, and feeling like he deserved it since he's quote unquote the senior of the team, even though he was gone for a while. but honestly, I don't read too much into it, honestly. Like, as we all know, the real captain of the team is, you know, Ilie. It's at the end of the day, and from there, that's up to the players to figure out who can move on and be the captain. Again, still with Vela not here, the captain's armband is second time when it gets passed around is up for grabs at this point, until if we figure out who the true leader is and who wants to lead this team when the captain gets subbed out.
Now, I gotta be real. Looking at who we have on this side, of course, without Ilya on the field, I think eventually it's going to be Lloris, because the guy naturally leads wherever he goes. It's just his way. I think it would naturally come about with him, especially in training. So the guy's going to respect him for what he does. But yeah, the armband thing, it's a little childish stuff, but that's okay. I mean, at least guys want to take some responsibility rather than not, you know, not the you do it situation, because that would be way more scandalous. that would bother me. Yes.
I'm going to be a devil's advocate here. The only problem I can see with Lloris becoming the captain when our captain steps off the field is if something's happening down further on the pitch, wouldn't you prefer your captain down there to bring your players back and so we can keep a run all the way down and all the way back type thing?
I think it depends on the side. And I think in those kind of moments, usually the veteran player like Ilie would kind of get the second, like, you wouldn't second guess him. You just let him talk, right? Because there's a respect built out there. And so you'd kind of have two captains in that sense. You're not going to, you know, the refs in the league, they learn rather quickly with Ilie. Like, okay, you listen to him. He's going to be respectful. He's going to tell you what he needs to tell you. And he's good at protecting his guys. So, again, he doesn't need an armband to kind of prove his leadership, right? So you got to have two captains in that moment. Soccer USA, he says, also noticed Saturday we tend to start games at a lethargic pace. Decision-making seems to be our kryptonite. We allow teams time to adjust, and we do well putting ourselves in good spots. I think that's almost by design, though, right now. We are really changing our approach. We used to be where we were the guys that plug away, plug away, plug away, and now it's this counterattacking thing. We feel it out and go, okay, we'll measure it, and then we do our thing. Again, still producing the opportunities. Is it as pretty as we'd like it to be? No. Was it effective? Should have been, you know. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of, where we kind of just see that a little bit at times to certain teams. Oh, Daniel Angel says, Latif Blessing back to the Western Conference. He is back. He is in all places Houston. We wish him well, as long as it's not against us. I think that's pretty straightforward. Yeah. So, hey, and you know what? As long as he's got a job in this league, I'm happy. Except in Carson. That wouldn't be cool. But anywhere else, fine. Just not Carson. Mendo says, shout out to Tony. Dude looks like Jeff Hardy about to do a top rope flip leading with 32-52. I mean, you could have said John Cena, and then we'd all be laughing at this point, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll let it go right there. Smalls, Kenobi in the mix, says Murray definitely learned a lot from Chiellini. Still learning a lot from Chiellini. That's a good reason we kept him around, right? Dunya on Hell says, found my Carlos Vela scarf when cleaning today. Is the unlinking of U22 and DP as reported by Tom Bogert enough to change the calculation to bring Carlos back? I don't know, because they're still saying they're talking to him. So obviously it's a numbers game. It's totally a numbers game. Are they at the number that they're both happy with? And they're not. They're apart. That's it. Both sides want him in this building, right? Both sides want him playing. But it's got to be for the right price. And no one's going to, you know, and if nobody can make a, you know, an adjustment either way, it doesn't happen. So that's the battle. Are they going to be where they need to be? And any contract negotiation, if it's not right for the, for one of the people involved, then it's not going to happen. That's just how it goes. That's just how it goes. So we'll see. We'll see what happened. Camp Dolly Black and Gold says, I want a shirtless Joseph in the capo stand at least at one time. You're not even going to get a shirtless me outside of the shower, man. That's just life. Deal with it. I mean, swimming pool's optional, man. Jesus. Yeah, not happening. But that's okay. I love you guys anyway.
So what you're saying, we're 10 to 30 if you into a swimming pool?
Bro, like, yeah, on vacation in a far-off land. Nowhere near the north then. That's for sure. Cameras would be banned. So there you go. And then next week I'll be in the north then doing my thing. So there you go. That too. Never say never. Never say never as I push Tony out of the capo stand. Fun times. Fun times. Dolly, love you too, man. That's for sure. You guys are awesome. Keep doing what you do. All right. So those are the comments. I want more. Dude, Daniel. He threw it out there, and that's a loaded question. What are we going to take for Joseph to swim in the sunset deck? A waiver, man. Like, swear, if I don't get kicked out, I'll do it. That's pretty much the vibe. If they say you're golden, I'm golden. So, yeah, bring it. Hear it, Rich. Ha. All right, there we go. Good stuff, guys. We're going to get into community news. Definitely stay on. Definitely comment. We're going to preview the next match against Minnesota in a little bit, and that one's going to be super interesting, so stick around for that stuff. But let's first jump on to community news. Tony, what is going on in the community, sir?
So for club and community news, of course, 3252 membership is available. Sign up when you can to help, you know, fund, you know, TIFOs, flags, paintings, everything that we need to do to make, you know, what we do the best in MLS and hopefully one of the best around the world. There are three tiers. Each one gets an extra item, which is kind of cool. You know, beanie for a second tier, clear bag, because as you know, for people who have gone to games, we have now a full clear bag policy unless you have diapers or medical supplies. So sign up when you can. If you are affiliated with a supporter group, make sure you, when you signed up, you select, you know, affiliation, unaffiliated if you're not with anybody, affiliated, you know, Black Army, TSG, Cuervos, Expos, Empire Boys, Luckies, Bruce, Luckies, LAO, etc.
Or any of the other groups that are not official 3252, they're on the listing too. So anybody's groups can be listed here and noted. So if you're in one, go for it. Does not matter. You know, they're welcome. If you need to write it in, write it in. There's always new groups popping up. So be proud of who you're with and promote it. That's for sure. And sign up. I'll say it a million times over, sign up. And for most of the groups, I will tell you this. Their membership in the 3252 as a group is also affected by this, right? You have to be active. You have to be present. And so if you aren't representing even in the numbers, that's a problem. So definitely, if you're in the mix, sign up. Be a part of it. 3252 can't put on the show that it puts on unless it's got the proper funding and got the proper support. So we definitely need it. That and the swag is super cool this year. I will say that. The packages are on point. So back to you, Tony.
No worries. And then, of course, with the game being away, there's only two watch parties that are official 3252. It will be at Golden Road Brewery. There are two locations, one in Los Angeles at 5410 West San Fernando Road. And the other one is in Anaheim, 2210 East Orangewood Avenue. Game, they are especially about 5:30 p.m., so get there early. And pretty much that is up for watch parties. So if you can make it to that, there might be some local watch parties for other groups if you cannot make it, but get there early. I know space is limited, so get there when you can. And my favorite thing that we haven't done in a while is the 2024 art show with Black Army, AIM, and 3252 on June 30th. Showcase how you feel your culture is represented in the city of Angels. Los Angeles is a melting pot of cultures, and whether or not you were born and raised here, the city makes you feel like we belong. Painting, sculpture, photography, etc., all mediums welcome and accepted. Deadline for submissions is June 23rd, and to reach out for participation or any help, go to bagivesback@gmail.com. So for anybody who's new, there is usually an annual art show that we were doing up until COVID, and then we had one other one recently. So it's a really cool thing. I've got some pieces in my place that are from that art show. There's I have two skylines of the LA skyline, one at night, one at dark. So one, the day one's in the living room, in my living room, the night one's in my bedroom. And then also I have a really cool graph designed Leon versus LAFC poster that was made. And yeah, so again, it's really cool. It's kind of like, you know, all benefits go to AIM. If most of you don't know, AIM tries to help out underprivileged kids who can't afford sports supplies and gives it back to the community, helps them out. Wonderful organization, Vic. Love you. Love you for everything you do. I'm always, always, always grateful for everything that you do for that. So if you are an artist, if you are a photographer of any kind and you want to participate, like I said, the theme is Los Angeles. So whatever you can do, like I said, reach out at a capital G, which it forgives, capital B for back @gmail.com, just to clarify anything like that. Also, if you need the more information, you need to write it down. It's on the 3252 Black Army, and I believe AIM as well has it on their post. So, yeah, that is all.
We'll keep promoting that with each episode. We're gonna promote it as well. I can say from personal experience, I do have some artwork as well, and actually did some of the pickups for the last few where if they were in the IE, I was the one going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That too. So hey, you know, if you're in the IE, you might meet me. For now, I might show up at your door to pick up your artwork. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing what Vic does with athletes in the making. I will say, I've never been around somebody so dedicated to their mission as Vic, and so selfless. I mean, he would give the shirt off his back. That's the way he is. So, you know, it's going to a good place. It's going to kids, athletic. You know, one thing they do is they go to the schools and teach sports. You know, and it's really impressive. They give bikes to kids. They had a huge bike program. It's constant. It is constant. Vic always has the wheels, you know, spinning and coming up with something new. So, yeah, all love, man. And I can't wait to see what gets donated this year. And also, I will say the show, every year that we pull this thing off, they're fantastic shows, highly entertaining. And there's always something, and everybody shows up for it, well attended. So, as we get you more details, don't hesitate. Come on out and have a good time. It's worth
it. Exactly. Yeah, like there's always some piece that everybody wants, and everyone tries to outbid each other for it. There's always those two pieces. One, unfortunately, wasn't able to get, but yeah, it's always fun. Like I said, it's also a hangout, have fun, and everything like that. So,
yeah, it's more cool. Details. It's
yeah.
Cool. So there it is, Tony. We'll keep you posted. We'll get it out there. And as you see down in the bottom there, Harvey Lacy Podcast, bagivesback@gmail.com. That's the place to go. That's the place to submit it. So let's get that artwork. That's for sure. All right. Anything else to add in, Tony, before we move on to our Vinyl Club Minutes?
Actually, before that, let's go to LAFC 2, because I know people are anticipating one big particular thing. So,
all right. I'm kidding. Araceli, this one's a loaded one. So I'm just going to give you the floor. Let's go. Let's see what we got going with LAFC 2.
Well, thankfully, I did recruit Tony to help me out on this one so I can have a chance to breathe. But it's like I always said at the beginning of this episode and even last week, MLS Next Pro third season officially kicks off tomorrow night. As for LAFC 2, their home opener, they host their home opener this Sunday with the Minnesota United 2. At Titan Stadium, it's a 1 p.m. kickoff. If you're unable to make it, the match will be streamed on the Next Pro website. So, as I've always said last year, I highly, highly recommend everyone to go and check out a match, whether if it's the home opener or just anytime during the season. They are very entertaining, as you guys know, and I've watched a large majority of them, and I can speak to it. That just watching them, I know the boys always respect the support and just love seeing the energy that you guys bring out to the stadium. Now, with that being said, we do finally have some roster news from them, where just yesterday, I believe, or 2 days ago, they released their official roster for this new season. We have 13 players returning. Some highlighting like Christopher Jaime, Diego Rosales, Lucas Bombino, just to kind of name a few. Unfortunately, too, you know, we've had some players move on, which does happen each season. But looking at this, we also have three new signings with Luis Mueller, Dabo Nair, excuse my mispronunciation on that. And a surprising one with goalkeeper David Ochoa. And for this, I will actually let Tony take over. So I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on this signing.
So I've researched. Well, of course, we all know who David Ochoa is. You know, Joseph's favorite player of all time. You may have seen him in MLS with a couple of teams up there, you know, fighting with fans, fighting with his own supporter groups on his own team. He is from Oxnard, California. He is a local boy. I see him as a project. He is decent keeper, let's be honest. But we'll see where the project is. If he gets his, I guess, pretty much his ego and temperament checked, and then maybe he could move up forward. This could be a move forward. The other surprising one, which I was more looking at, was Luis Mueller. Not that Mueller. I know everyone saw that name and was thinking a certain one, but not that one. He's an interesting case. 23 years old, German born, highest level of professional football is college at what was it? I just saw it. Sorry, I believe. Apologies for that. Which is California Baptist Lancers, for the Lancers at university. That was his highest level of professional football. He did play for, I'm gonna butcher this one, so help me out on this one, Joseph. Colin. Yeah, C-O-L-N. Yeah, I was like, I read it how they said it, so I know it's Germans have a very different aspect of it, so please don't kill me, you guys. Please, I try my best.
Cologne for everybody else that you know, when it's like anglicize it. Yes.
Yeah, Cologne. he played for their youth under 17 for them, so before anyone says he's not a Bayern product, he's not any of that, but he is a forward that is very interesting. He may be a late bloomer, he may not, but he is a project that we are more likely looking to bring up into LAFC.
And for a second there, when I saw Mueller, I was just, oh my gosh. But no way it's not happening. But
I think we all had the same idea, because I will admit, I thought the very same thing, and I immediately went to Google to see if there was any type of relation between the two. And unfortunately, so far that I can find, there is not, sadly. But looking a little deeper into kind of his resume, he is it seems that his main position is a center, and he also has a little versatility that he can be a left winger or an attacking mid. So in my opinion, I'm thinking it's a very similar case to Lorenzo last season, where they signed him to an LAFC 2 contract only to bring him up to the first team. That is my prediction on it. I could be wrong, of course, but just kind of looking at his style, it does really match what LAFC typically looks for. And as for the third signing, Tony, can you go in on that one, please?
Yes. Nair, he is actually a former Dallas player as well. He played for Dallas last year. We picked him up. He played for North Texas SC, was out without a club once the season was over and was picked up by us. He is born from North Carolina, so U.S. citizen. He is a defender. And to say that, you know what I mean, he has some international experience from Europe, from what I was reading about what Dallas was talking about him and looking him up. He looks, again, another project, but the other promising thing with him, again, as most people who follow the MLS and know the academy system before MLS Pro came into system, Dallas usually produces well in their talent size. We've actually had a couple of players come from there, from that academy, go to bigger and bigger things in Europe, also here in the States. As most of you know, Mr. Zimmerman came from Dallas, just the academy, but just their overall development of their youth. So again, another one. So I'm sorry about him, but yeah, so it's a very interesting sign about these signings. Again, the more surprising one, of course, is Mr. Ochoa, because he is the older statesman of the whole team, and it's a very interesting way of like how much he has fallen through the ranks back to MLS Pro. Next Pro, sorry, apologies.
I do want to add on very quickly with the third signing, Thabo Nair. I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. And I do remember him playing for North Texas last season. Unfortunately, I cannot speak to his personal stats as of now because I did not have time to really research that. But what I can say about the North Texas squad, that it was a very strong club last season, where we saw Diego Pepe, Ricardo Pepe's brother, and they even developed Camungo, who has been performing very well with Dallas. So him coming to us from North Texas, I'm very confident that having played with that level of talent, hopefully that can translate over to the LAFC side of things. But with David Ochoa, I mean, I think we mutually agree that his attitude is going to be kind of the center point of it. And I really hope it is not with his past history. But where I am curious with him is how much are we going to see him in goal? Because looking at this roster, there's only 13 players in total. It's a very thin roster, unfortunately. And Jassim Khalat was very prominent in goal last season. And he's now with the CPL. I believe it's Forge Valley, or I'm not too familiar with the Canadian teams, but he's no longer with LAFC, is my point. And the only other backup goalkeeper we have is Abraham Romero. So again, I'm curious of who's going to see more time, Ochoa or Romero. But with that being said, moving on to more fun things, which I saw a lot of chatter. Oh, go ahead.
Hold on. Let's have Bam and Joseph speak their truth on the new signees before we go to the big news.
Oh, good. Sorry, guys.
I'll let Bam go first.
Excited about to see what they can bring. Yeah, look, all it is I look at it as going, go out, watch the twos. If you have the day off, go watch the twos. go see some of the youth come in. You got to remember, you're seeing these players before they will make their professional debuts for either if it is LAFC or if they do get a move overseas to another big club. You can turn around and say, I was there, I saw this kid play for such and such. I was there, I saw this kid score a wonder goal, all this kind of stuff. Because remember, these kids are not only playing just for LAFC 2, they try and play for the rest of their lives, rest of their careers, all that kind of stuff. So you'll see them pull goals out of nowhere, score some wonder goals, and then cop a couple of wonder goals too. But go in there, enjoy it, support the next generation of players, and just have fun.
Simple as that. Simple as that. Yeah, with the youngsters, looking forward to what they're going to do. Again, Mueller's a project. We'll see what he's going to do. In terms of Ochoa, I think it's simple with him. His history does precede him, but he's now wearing our kit. And as long as he's wearing our kit and lives up to the kit, we'll be respectful. If he can't do that, get lost. I think it's pretty straightforward. If he's out there and he's doing what he's got to do, he's putting in the work, listening to the coaches, and you don't see a repeat of what he's done in the past, well, good. He's learned. He's progressed. And if he can contribute to the side, then he can contribute to the side. But live up to the crest. If it doesn't go that way, I hope the club is quick in their actions. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, good. All right.
Now
so,
what everybody wants to know about.
Yes, the kits, both home and away. Let's be honest, guys. It's kind of overshadowing the first team stuff a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It looks pretty clean. Araceli, what do you think?
I love them, to be honest. Considering what they had last season, I think this is a big upgrade, and it shows that they're starting to invest more in the LAFC 2 team, especially when you're looking at just kind of the overall arc of the new signings, the new coaching staff, the new assistants is something we haven't gotten into, but we'll get into more of them next week. But for right now, the main focus being on the kits, as I was saying a moment ago, I've been seeing a lot of chatter with it and a lot of debates of which kit is better, which version is better. And even from our poll and other polls, it's been an overwhelming amount of support for the LAFC 2 kits to the fact that we've been getting endless messages if they are available for purchase, which unfortunately they are not. As of now, they are not. I cannot speak to the sales of the kits, how that process works, but given the pressure that is being put on the club in the last day or so, hopefully they will become available soon. Would you guys purchase them if they are?
100%. I mean, not the white one. Not the white one for very obvious reasons, but definitely the black one. What do you guys think?
I would purchase the both kits. Again, supporting LAFC 2. As I can tell you right now, going to a game, and I know Joseph has in, they have no merch available at the game. So the best way to say it is if the people want it and the people want to pressure, you know, them to make the jerseys. And I'm not even saying make authentics. I'm okay with a replica of this jersey. Like, you know what I mean? If they need to kind of save money a little bit and, you know, feel out how this first process of these new kits moving forward, maybe make a replica version of it, buy it, and support LAFC 2. And this also could also bring out more people to the games to see, you know, like, oh, I'm here to watch them, but here's my kit to support LAFC 2. Now, I know people like the way it designed everything, but remember, you guys, this is for the LAFC 2. We do have our main kits, which has a certain star that we've earned, and that only goes with LAFC, the senior team, not the twos.
I got a question for you guys about the new kit. Like, yes, we all would like to purchase it, but how about this for an idea? You want one of the LAFC 2 kits, you attend the games, you get a raffle ticket, end of the year, each one of the player worn jerseys gets raffled off.
I mean, they could do auction every game like they do with indoor soccer if they really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens. But minor league sports, I mean, the jerseys are flowing, right?
For me, it's you raffle them off to people that actually attended the games. The more games you attend, the more tickets you have, the more chances you have of getting one.
Be fun too. Incentivize actually showing up for games. I would say this too. Technical staff, front office staff, they usually go to these games. Hear them out, right? Talk to them. Tell them you want the kit. Mm-hmm. I know we will. I think it's going to be no doubt. It's all over the place at this point that people want them. I'm not sure what the level of the kit is. I didn't get that close to it. If it's as the level of the authentics or if it's more of the level of the replicas, could be an arrow ready after all. I mean, you never know what the level is yet. We haven't looked that closely, but they're nice. They're cool. They give them their own identity, which is what they need. And Aristotle is going to agree to that with all the other teams in this league. They all kind of have their own identity as the second side. And our side didn't really get that chance because they were just kind of wearing the extras for the big team. So this was the proper thing to do, removing the star, the whole thing. Earn their own stars, right? Different league, different competition. It's the right idea. And I think it's a professional look, very professional. I would still, I'm going to personally say that I like our new home kit this year for LAFC better than LAFC 2. Because it is unique, it's different. Pinstriping is cool, but yeah, black and white stripes. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. It's just classy looking. So we'll see. Hopefully they sell them. I really do hope that happens. I know there's an order form, or you could see one getting made really quickly here and people buying in. So good on that. Aristotle, anything else to add for LAFC 2 and the MLS Next Pro?
As of now, honestly, no. Really, the season officially kicks off tomorrow. So if any of you guys have a chance, the games will be on Apple TV later at night. So definitely check them out, not just LAFC 2, but if you want to get an idea of the league as a whole as to what it's all about, I highly recommend just watching the games, really, just kind of tuning in. What's a little unique about this league is that they do have three independent teams competing this year, with two new ones joining this season of Chattanooga and Carolina Core. So we're very curious to see how they perform. But just another reminder, LAFC2's home opener is this Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff at Titans Stadium. If you cannot make the match, the game will be streamed on Next Pro's website.
If you can go, guys. It's fun. Titans Stadium, interesting design, but good views of the game. That's for sure. There's no bad spots there to watch this thing. And there's usually supporters. So the familiar songs will present themselves. So it's a good time out. That's for sure. All right. Let's move it on to the Black and Gold Vinyl Club Minute. And I believe, Bam, you have the floor for this one, right? You got one for us?
Yeah. For this one, I decided not to go with a normal of, you know, who we're playing, a band from there and all that kind of stuff. This one, I'm going to go with the artist that comes out of Cleveland, Ohio. Unfortunately, he passed away earlier this week, and that's Eric Carmen. You're probably thinking, going, who's Eric Carmen? I guarantee you you've heard some of his songs. One of his first big hits was from 1975, which is All By Myself, because we don't want to be all by myself, that's for sure. He had some, and his most famous big hit that everyone knows came out in 1988. Was on the soundtrack for the movie Dirty Dancing, Hungry Eyes. You've all got to know those songs. If you don't know those songs, you got to do something with yourself. But yes, unfortunately, Eric Carmen did pass away this week. So as a ode to him, I have to put him down as one of the greatest songwriters there is with those songs. So for this week, it's Eric Carmen and Hungry Eyes.
There we go. A little bit of Yacht Rock vibes with that second one, that's for sure. But good stuff. Good choice, man. Good choice. I like it. All right. Guess what? It is time to get into Minnesota. And yes, we're entering this thing with Hungry Eyes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, that just happened. Yeah, we're playing Minnesota. They are two wins and a draw at this point and looking real, looking really good. Never give up, never say die. They've had two last gasp results that were just, I was thankful to get to see some of these, one of them live. Yeah, this team is tough. I'm going to say it straight up. So far they've got a, let me jump up here. Almost lost it. Yeah, moving in. So they started the opening of the season. They went to Austin and got a 2-1 victory. That ain't easy to do, right? Then they played the defending champions at home, were down all game, and then it was like the 95th minute. They got a last-minute draw. It was freaking amazing if you're watching the game. I will say that. I was enjoying that. Got that really, really amazing draw. And then I guess they had to up the ante and get a little bit more dramatic. And guess what? They go to Orlando. You know, that team everybody's talking about being a Supporter Shield contender. Yeah, right. They went and took a 3-2 victory at the last minute again and stole that game from Orlando. And they just do what they do, man. They've been relentless this year. They don't give up. They never give up. It's a very cool vibe that they're doing right now. They're entertaining to watch. There's a lot of similarities between what their approach to the game is this season to what our approach to the game is this season. Goals, and more goals. You know, there are no shutouts here, but they're scoring. And so it's could be a proper shootout when we play these guys. It could get a little bit wild. We know one thing's for certain. They don't stop. They don't stop. And if we turn off, good luck. And you're like, well, okay, well, how good are they? Who are they fielding? What makes them so strong? I'm going to go to you, Bam. I know normally I do this, but I know you've been doing the homework on this thing. Who do we got to look out for, man?
So they play the 4-3-3 like we do. So far this year, in goals, I've always had St. Clair, who's always been a great shot stopper. Right back for all three games has been Taylor. Centre-back pairings being Boxall and Tapias. Left-back for last three games has been Rosales. But if you watch their last game, at the end, there was a lot of pushing and shoving going on. Referee went to VAR after the game, and Rosales got a red card for violent conduct. So he's missing for him this game. The midfield, obviously, got trapped as a centre mid. You got Dotson there, and they've been playing Lod over Bran the three games. So Lod's played two, Bran's played one. And the front three has been Jeong, Pookie, and Clark. Fran Parent started this year there, but he's out injured, and they're also missing Reynoso out injured as well.
So even with injuries, they're still looking deadly out there. And to be honest, for their first game of the season, Rosales wasn't the story anyway. So, and they're fine without him. They'll be fine without him. This team is really looking at St. Clair. If we're not on point, he's going to deny us. That's for sure. If you're not full measure with him, he'll get you. You're not going to get past him. So if he's on the day, it's going to be very difficult. Also, we do have a history going to Minnesota and not really getting what we want. In fact, what we usually always get, shocker, shocker, prediction time, a 1-1 draw. The last three games, a 1-1 draw. That's what we do when we go to Minnesota. Even when we think we're going to take him out, it's a 1-1 draw. So that's what it's been. We'll see what happens. Of course, at home, we tend to take it to them. We took them 5-1 last year. Year before that, 2-0 at home. Again, we're finally at home against these guys, but it's always a draw. And honestly, this team is better than those teams that we've drawn in the past. So it will be an interesting look. That is for sure. In terms of goal production, which is why they are where they're at, they've got 6 goals already this year. I know. We've got a grand total of 2. How many have they allowed? Well, yeah, 4. They allow goals. So it's very much an entertaining side. We'll see what we do here. I think for us, the big story is who we're going to feature in this game, what we're going to look towards. So I'm going to go to Tony first on this one. Yes, sir. You're on the clock with this. I'll go to midfield. Who do you think are 3 in the midfield for this game?
Ilya, Atuesta, or Constance, 100%. The other one, the way Minnesota plays, it's not really controversial, and I know people do like him, but I know some people don't. I kind of want to see what Tillman does just in this game, just to see where his head's at and like where his style play falls into this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the midfield is fine. That's not where we're getting killed on this thing. And the midfield has produced for us already this year, unlike the top side. So why not? If it's been working, and I honestly do think it has been working, we're producing opportunities and we're stable. Why change in this matter? Of course, the back line prediction is no change, right? I'll go to Uroselli. Do you see any changes in the back?
I don't see any changes, unfortunately.
No, and I would say fortunately, though, right? Because we only have one game a week. Nobody's really stressed. They can get used to each other. And a back line that's stable is a back line that wins. That's okay. No changes. So I'll go to Bam, front line. Who are you featuring today?
It's staying the same for me. At the moment, we've done nothing wrong besides a snow game, but that's completely different. It is a snow game. That everything gets thrown out the window. We've done nothing wrong to warrant people getting dropped at the moment. Would I like to see some more subs around the 70th minute? Yes. But so far, we've done nothing wrong.
Who do you think goes in as this game moves on? Who do you look to first for reinforcements?
Martinez. He's one of the first ones that goes in. Obviously, you want to see our newly soon-to-be internationally capped player, Duenas as well. Oh, not Duenas, sorry.
Ordaz. Yeah. Congrats to him, by the way. Like he's going to play for El Salvador. Pretty cool. Ordaz to me has looked fine when he's out there. Martinez has looked like a dynamo. So it's those two, right? That's the battle right now. Who gets in? And of course, Mr. Angel, if you saw his quotes, I don't know. Those are the kind of quotes that you feature on a player that's going to get minutes. You guys saw that, right? He wants to leave his name. That's why he came here. Usually when the press leaks that stuff out or throws that stuff out there, they're suggesting that you're going to see him on the field at some point. I don't know. Maybe I'm tinfoil hatting that, but you never know. We're on the road. So let's see what happens. That's for sure. Tony, do you think you'll have any changes to the starting lineup up front?
Martinez.
Four.
Oliveira.
And Bogu stays as your center forward?
Mm-hmm. Oliveira and Martinez are very similar players. So if you're going to take someone out to change it, I would say Martinez. I know with that small sample of those two small samples, one in snow, and he did really well in that. And then now with in another game, let's see how he does starting, just to see what he does when he fully warmed up with the team and the first and going forward.
Interesting. I do think Oliveira is on a tight leash for this game. If it's not working, he's out early, 55th, 65th minute at the latest. And the move will happen. I think that's there. Bouanga, I don't think there's a guarantee he finishes this game if he performs like he did last game. So don't be shocked by that either. Is if you're not in form, you're not in form. You know, something happens, something gives. It'd be a shocker for a lot of people, but I don't put it past Dolo to send a message at this stage. Am I wrong in that, Bam?
No, it's as I said, he's done nothing to warrant getting dropped. But he is in that line of don't perform, don't stay on the pitch.
Simple. Yeah, don't send a cross halfway across the field when you only need to get it in front of the goal. weird stuff like that, yes. Aracel, your thoughts on the top line? Is it going to stay the same? How are you feeling about our striker and wingers?
I do see it staying the same, but I agree with Tony that I want Martinez to start just to simply see what he can do, because I do want to start seeing more from our newer players in the sense of, you know, seeing what their capabilities are, because I know it's still only March, but now with a Leagues Cup being announced today, I'm starting to look ahead to the summer and fresh legs and how we're able to keep our players healthy, per se.
Yeah, and to be honest, if it doesn't work out with Martinez in the first half or so, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a hungry Olvera coming off the bench, fresh while others are not. That can't hurt. That can't hurt. So we'll see. We'll see what they go with. Let's toss it over to our supporters. There are about 16 comments hanging out there. Let's see what you guys think. Let's go. Let me see here. All the way back. Man, that is interesting. So we've got an Earthquake comment from Soccer USA. Earthquake's renaming their next pro team. Is a move away from San Jose imminent? Las Vegas, perhaps? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, like you saw with our jersey, I think teams are trying to give their second teams a better identity. Again, we know how they're posturing against the USL. Let's be real about it. And so they need to add legitimacy to their size by giving them an independent look. It's competition. And if you just look like you're under a shadow, no one's going to take that seriously as a proper second division. Soccer USA says he even looks exactly like Mueller. Wait a minute. Did Tomas ever take an off-season trip to the U.S. around 20 years ago? That's funny, dude. That is funny. Check the papers. All right. Soccer USA says, if obviously looking to purchase an Australian club, which club should we consider? This one's for you, Bam.
At the moment, I wouldn't touch it. There's a lot of turmoil happening over here, especially at the moment between fans and police security at games. But if I had to say one, I'd probably look at Central Coast Mariners, Newcastle, maybe Western United. They won't have enough money to buy Melbourne Victory. They won't have enough money to buy Melbourne City. Sydney FC, Western Sydney, too expensive for them to look at. Maybe they take over the possibility of bringing in the Canberra team that's looking at coming in, because they did announce the other day the crest and colours for the new Auckland team that's coming in, which looks magnificent.
They do. Bam sent that our way earlier, and it's clean, a clean look. So, I mean, we have friends at Western. Right? I mean, we do. So, yeah, that would be interesting. I would like to see us go to, like, Colombia, right, and get into there. Because we're already pulling players from South America. You might as well just buy in completely. I'd be more interested in that. But we'll see what's going to happen next. Hey, you know how we are. We're in the team buying and stadium building business all of a sudden. So there you go. Mendo says, yes, some of us will grab several LAFCT jerseys. Don't know about the white one as well. Yeah, not the vibes. Soccer USA, since every football club around the world utilizes a Viking clap chant, what would a Los Angeles Warriors chant clap sound? I'm happy with the sha-la-la. I don't think we need to do much else. We have the call to arms. That's the most similar thing we have. But it flows, unlike what others are doing, and it's us. So call to arms seems to be our thing, I think. It'll be the similar one. Mendo, hopefully it'll bring a successful season this year. Yeah, clean threads, clean attitude. Let's go. Soccer USA says, if Tomas Angel does well and starts getting it minutes, should we consider moving Ordaz for a loan since he's getting national team call-ups? I think the competition is just starting. It's a long year. Give them shots. That's how this works. Everyone plays at this point. Figure who fits best, and whatever works best, we go with it. Yes, Mendo, you are right. It says Minnesota precise on their finishing. Lloris is going to need another great performance. Also, watch out for dead balls and back post crosses. I'm just going to say that right now. Sneaky stuff, guys. Be careful. Mendo, looking forward to see how new players do away from BMO on actual grass. Add that caveat. to it. Yes. Yeah, we'll see what they do. Sagar says, thanks for responses. Let's do Minnesota. If Martinez scores, Joseph in Sunset Pool next game. I'm going to throw this out here. You want me to go in the pool? Get Moe's court built. That's where I'm going to leave it. I will jump in there in a heartbeat if we can get that court up there. I'll put it at that. So there you go. Dolly Bot and Gold Podcast says Martinez is recovering from a small injury, according to Venezuelan media. That's why he never played 90 on pre-Olympic. Most likely considering on health situation. Dolo spoke today. We will repeat team. Yeah, that might be why you're hearing some quotes from on hell. Is they're already preparing us because maybe Martinez doesn't get those minutes. And it would be on hell's chance. Again, the story is being written. We'll see what happens. I'm just happy we have these young options. Dolly Black and Gold also says Martinez subs someone at 60, maybe, if not another late sub. We're really thin right now. I would really be sad if he got less than 15 minutes. I really want to see a 30-minute run from this kid to get comfortable in the game and get the flow of the game rather than just being a disruptor. I'd really like to see him get some proper minutes because, again, we just got a taste of what he can do. We want to see him comfortable out there. So there we go. Good stuff, guys. Good work on that, Dale, with the updates on Martinez. Y'all are the best. There you go. All right. So it gets to that moment. Yes. The conclusion of another amazing episode, this time episode 336. So what do we do? What's the tradition? That's right. We give our last reactions, our last comments, our final thoughts of the day. So who gets to go first this time? Bam hasn't gone first in a while, so I think Bam is the man for this. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts for me is, for everyone that is going to Minnesota, I'll give you the Bam weather update. Saturday night, it's going to drop to about 24 degrees, so stay warm. For everyone else that stays back, remember, look after each other. Always have fun. Remember, it's just a game. Look out for your mates. Conversations can save lives. If you haven't spoken to your mate for a while, call them up. Say, hey, let's go to a watch party. Let's go watch some football. Let's go talk shit. Let's go have fun. Let's go have a round of golf somewhere, you know. Just get out, enjoy the sunshine. Being out in the sun can do wonders for your mental health and all that, especially when you're out with other people. So go out, enjoy yourself. Conversations can save a life. And remember, it's okay to not be okay.
Well said, sir. Again, look out for each other. We're a community. Act like it. Yes. Araceli, final thoughts.
Final thoughts for me. I'm already looking forward to sleeping again. But in all seriousness, I'm just wishing everyone a very fun, safe weekend, whether if you're going to a watch party for LAFC or if you're going to the LAFC 2 home opener or just random St. Patrick's Day shenanigans. Really wishing that you all have a fun, safe weekend. Please be smart. Please look out for each other, as Bam was saying, and yeah, we're already in for an interesting ride this season.
St. Patty's Day Sunday. Oh, that's great. That's great. That's going to be fun this weekend. All right. Thank you, Araceli, again. We love what you do. We love seeing all the movement, all the progress. It's go time, right? The league is back. So we can't wait to hear the updates from you. Which brings us to our good friend, Tony. Yes. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts, of course, is have fun. For those traveling to Minnesota, be safe out there. You know, buddy system, buddy system, buddy system, and have fun. Of course, you know, support the team there. For those who go into the watch parties, have fun. Make sure you tip your bartenders and also drink responsibly as well. Again, watch out for your mates and everything like that. If you are also going to the LAFC 2 game, have fun there. It, you know, it's a cool stadium. It's a cool, like, more intimate atmosphere with everybody. You know, you're right almost on the pitch, close enough, and, you know, have fun there. As well as also, you know, if you are not going to that game or are going to a dual game, as in Angel City home opener this weekend, this Sunday. So if you're going there, support the women, support the ladies, fun there, you know, again, always a fun time there. So, but on that, that's my final say.
Nice new kits this year too for ACFC. So yeah, go and check it out. It's like amazing people out that way. So, and the game will be highly entertaining. I guarantee it. You'll enjoy yourself. For me to all you guys, you know, I am beyond thankful for what you guys do as a community. You just keep amazing me as we move forward. The support will always be loved. I wanted to give a special shout out to Michael, not Mike, for the gift he gave me in the stands. He gave it to Tony, and Tony passed that bad boy along. Some Bayern love from a Bayern supporter to a Bayern supporter. Yes, on Mia, right? We are who we are. And again, thankful for your friendship, sir. Thankful for the gift. I'll get that thing up here pretty soon, and you'll get it displayed. It's holding some things in the car. It's had a use already. So, yeah, thank you, man. That was fun. And again, to the rest of you guys traveling, it's going to be cold. Be prepared, as Bam says. This is Minnesota after all. I think they're trying to kill us with this schedule. Freeze us to death early on. We'll thaw by August. It's fine. It's fine. But you guys are wild. So I know there's going to be a ton of you out there already. I saw the demand for it. So it's real. Have fun. Teach them a few things out that way. Be careful. There have been some funky incidents out that way. So look out for each other. Don't leave anybody isolated. I'm serious. Don't. And go have a good time, because you can actually have a lot of fun out that way, especially this weekend with St. Paddy's and all. So be careful. To the rest of you guys going to different watch parties, especially the big Golden Road ones, know that traffic is always funky at the LA location, a little more open in Anaheim. Either way, you're going to have one heck of a time, because it's going to be packed with LAFC supporters. They'll be big, both of them. So go out and say hi. I believe, Tony, you're probably going to be over in Anaheim. I will see if I make it. I will try my best. We will see. But it would be Anaheim as well, because it's much easier drive for me too. So, yeah, that's how it's going to play. And on that note, our final word. Bam.
Stay golden.
Araceli.
Stay golden.
Tony.
Stay golden, Los Angeles.
There he goes. That was like a Yacht Rock vibe right there. Did you get that one? And from me to all of you, stay golden, Los Angeles.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.